When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Hey, it's White Boy Chris. If the pat-downs ever made you laugh, then join our Patreon and support us. Get bonus content, a t-shirt, or an autographed copy of Rabbit, Miss Pat's autobiography. Visit MissPatComedy.com for the link to the Patreon, and while you're there, join our Facebook group.
Welcome to another episode of The Pat-Down. I'm here with Chris, Dion, and my co-stars, Theodore Barnes and Vince Swans. I swear if your name wasn't up there, I wouldn't remember the shit. And we're talking about what it is to work with Miss Pat, non-acting ass versus acting asses. And I think that's all.
Yeah, that's good. You better get up, get out, and tune into this podcast. Miss Pat spit the truth, spit the real fact. Nothing but the ugly, classy at the same time. Pat got the flavor, these are not your same lines. That's the politics, she been on the real grind. It could be pretty but ugly at the same time. Just tune in, put your lock on the spin down. Ain't no need for the wait and turn it up now. What you talking about? It's real though. And cut the game, you get no play like Nintendo. You waste the time, turn it up, nothing but the ugly. Straight off the top, everything she say, you know it's funny. Full blast, this a taste of the future. Listen on your iPhone, on your desktop computer. Share it, tweet it, ain't no way to beat it. Nothing but the ugly, turn it up and gon' repeat it.
So we're here with the two the sons from the show, Vince and Jumbo. We're gonna erase all that shit y'all just heard.
The best,
we're gonna get money
the
back.
Best stories.
And we're gonna get the money back before we release this shit. So this is what it's making feel about a week. We just gotta get her motherfucking money back. So we hear from with the guys from the boys from the Miss Pat show, Vince Swan and Theodore Barnes, Jumbo and Brandon.
How are you guys? Welcome.
That's Dion and that's Chris, my co-host of the Pat Down.
Nice to meet you. We're her other sons, her other fake sons.
Y'all on the other side?
What?
I say they're on the other side.
Oh, no, they're not on the other side. They're lying. Them motherfuckers old as me, okay? The white boy got a half a foot. You know I ain't got no fucking son with no half a foot.
I don't have diabetes yet. Fuck off.
Well, you sure old is a good representation for diabetes. White diabetes.
Look at the pot calling the kettle racist. Nigga, you had diabetes for a while.
Yeah, but my weight loss surgery got rid of it. So, look like he need weight loss. Surgeon, you need to pick up what he lose, bitch. But anyway,
does she treat the two of you like this on set? Was she giving you two the shit like this, or is it just me and Dion? Yes,
no,
I don't know. I think that's just y'all. She love us.
Well, Juba would never talk.
Don't believe that, Theodore. Don't believe that.
Just wait.
No, you heard she steal for a living.
I used to steal for a living. Well, Theodore never talked to us, so I didn't have a chance to cuss him out. But Brandon was always open and, you know, running around. He didn't give a fuck. Theodore was like, I'm on set with black people. These niggas crazy. They're playing rap music. I've never been around this many niggas before. Because, you know, he comes from Disney and Nickelodeon and Netflix. So he's like, they're playing rap music. I was on a set this week, and I didn't know how much I miss you, motherfucker. It was so boring. Oh, I was like, can we turn on some music? I wanted to bust out singing. What the fuck happened to Dion?
I'm here. Hold on.
His faintness kicked in.
Oh, I wanted to bust out singing, but I was scared that I was going to get fired. It was so boring. And then they was like, Miss Pat, you're welcome to ad-lib. And I said, that ain't what you want from me. That ain't what you want from me. So I kept my mouth shut. It was so fucking boring.
So Theodore, who played Junebug, mm-hmm. what was the difference between this set and other sets you've worked on?
Well, like that, exactly what Miss Pat said is, you know, I'm coming from Nickelodeon, Disney, Netflix. You know, we get in, we do what we got to do, we get out. you know, when I came over to the A, you know, with the land, you know, we have
the niggas. Just say the niggas.
Yeah, you know, we doing a whole
Disney trained that out of them.
So it's just, you know, it was a change of pace. So I had to get adjusted and get my mind right, you know. But you know, I was talking by at least the second or third episode.
No, the sixth episode.
Second, third, sixth, same thing.
He wasn't talking until you called him boring.
Oh, yeah.
That's what it was. That's what it was, Vince. Because that kind of hurt me. I was like, I ain't boring. I ain't never been boring.
You was bored as fuck. And I was like, why don't you talk to us? I said, we some real nigga. He said, I am not a nigga. I was like, oh, you too light for me. And then next thing I know, he just started to fucking talk. And I was like, oh, he do have a personality. Because he was so professional. And I was like, dude, okay, you have to be professional. I know this is somebody else's money, but you're going to have to loosen the fuck up. Okay? His mama was more crunk than him. His mama looked like she would whoop a nigga ass. His mama was bout it every day. What you need, man, Pat? She like, she choked niggas for a living. But he all reserved. And I was like, what is wrong with this kid? And my mother was like, he's professional.
She's not used to that. Theodore, were you nervous? Were you shy? Why didn't you talk? You just weren't used to it or what?
No, I have this thing, you know, when I come on to sets and it all boils down to just starting out professional and, you know, coming in, being about business, coming in, getting stuff done and letting people see that side first. Like, okay, this, you know, because I am still a kid, you know, at the time I was 18. So, you know, it's a lot of stuff that, you know, I want to show before we showcase the acting skills. There's a lot of kids my age that are great actors, but don't nobody want to work with them because their attitude is really bottom of the barrel. So I just got a thing where I come in and I lay that professional role down. And as time progresses, you know, I open up, I get more, you know, into it. And that's just how I've always been these last 9 years. So it's just not something that I'm not going to change, you know.
But, so how long have you been acting? How old are you if you've been in 9 years?
I'm 19, and at the end of this year, it'll be year number 10.
Wow.
Yeah. You were 17 when you got the role, because you were still in high school. Wasn't you 17?
I just turned 17. I had just turned 17. So 2019, yeah, I just turned 17, which is crazy.
Because I remember when the next year you was graduating, because your mama, you had to have you was the only one that had to have you was few of the kids, but you had to have you was going to school.
Mm-hmm.
Cause I was like, what the hell is Junebug at? And they was like, in school. I'm like, well, how old is he? And they was like, he's a senior. I said, oh shit.
You that sounds like you not knowing how old your kids are.
Well, that wasn't a real kid. I didn't know why the fuck he would disappear. It was my first show. I didn't know motherfucker go to school on set, nigga. Well, I didn't go to no school when I was a drug dealer. Nobody said break for a test.
That's real. That's
real. Can you imagine Miss Pratt stop selling drugs and go take the graduation exam?
Yeah, SATs.
Yeah.
I don't know if I ever told y'all get this story. Okay, Vince says Wi-Fi is messing up. Okay, that's fine. I don't know if I ever told y'all this, but when I dropped out of school in eighth grade. So whenever I would meet somebody and they told me a word that I didn't know, I would ask them the meaning of the word. And one of the first words I learned on the streets was entrepreneur from a guy who was trying to holler at me. So he said, I'm an entrepreneur. I said, what the fuck is that? And he's like, a person on their own business. So he gave me a card and the word entrepreneur was on the card. So whenever I learned something, fuck you. So I went back and I sat down in the trap and I broke it at entrepreneur. And I was like, come here, Ashley. Mama got a big word she wanna learn, teach you. And that was Ashley's first big word in like kindergarten was entrepreneur. And we sat out there that whole day until I taught her how to spell entrepreneur.
I still can't spell entrepreneur.
I can't either anymore. I think E-N-T-R-E-U I don't know. But
one of those French words like bureaucracy. I don't know. We'll just go administrative state. I don't know what this means. Business.
But that was one of the first big words I taught Ashley, because whenever I learned something, I would always go and teach it to Ashley.
So she can teach it to you later.
No, motherfucker, so she would know. Okay.
Did you ever go out with the dude?
Nah, he was fat. And at the time, I wasn't into fat dudes. And he was like, I had Ashley and I kids, so I had to be like 16, and I looked grown, and he looked like somebody's daddy, and I was already fucking somebody's daddy, so that wasn't interesting to me.
It's crazy.
So come on, Chris, ask Junebug some words until.
All right, so you get the role, you meet Miss Pat for the first time. What did you really think of her? You won't hurt her feelings. Tell us exactly what you really thought.
Fuck you, Chris.
It's funny because every podcast that I've done before this or interview, they all ask that question. I tell them the exact same thing. I knew about Miss Pat. I feel like I was one of the few black people that had watched Miss Pat before, you know, anybody really knew. Like, people know who Miss Pat is, but like when I tell black people before, they should be like, never heard of Miss Pat. And I tell them, go watch this little 7-minute bit on Comedy Central. You're gonna love her after that. But a couple months before I got the audition was when I first saw Miss Pat on YouTube, because I watched a lot of comedy bits. So when I got the audition, I was like, oh, shoot. I'm like, oh, okay. And when I got to, what was it, in L.A., the first audition, because usually the first audition, you don't really read with who's actually in the scene with you. So I had the pleasure of doing that off the rip. And so that really made me, like, you know, I came in and Miss Pat looked at me and she's like, you look like my Junebug. So, you know, that already boosted my head. And
I would say you look like Junebug, but I'm three strikes already, so I can't. before the recording, I was like, hey, congratulations on that Sprite commercial. He's like, no, that was another black guy. Sorry. Yeah. It's because Miss. So that was my first introduction to Theodore. Do you like Theo or Theodore, by the way?
It don't matter. Theo, okay. Theodore, Teddy.
So I think the thing, like, with Disney kids, and what Disney show were you on before?
I did I Didn't Do It. And then for Nickelodeon, I did Nicky Ricky Dicky and Don. And then I had my own show called Legendary Dudas. Those were my two.
So the rap is kind of like, I mean, we all remember Britney Spears and some of those transitions, right? Like, that the big thing with her was that she went far the other way. Like, did you have any, like, head trash or any reservation about doing a show? Like, knowing Miss Pat, you probably knew what the show was going to be like. Was there any kind of thoughts around that for you?
Not really. Not really. Because it's like, at some point, you know, a job is a job.
You say that check could change everything, won't it?
Yeah, I mean, not in like a way as like, you know, money is money, but as a kid actor, you know, you have to be able to make that jump. And a lot of people can't make that jump into the adult world or, you know, and this really is a perfect opportunity. You know, sitcom, it's comedy, it's my sweet spot. Only thing we doing is, you know, we cussing a little bit more. We being real life situations. So I was like, what? Come on, let's go.
Not many abortion jokes on the Disney Channel. So Pat, what was your, like, when you first met Theo, what did you think?
Well, me and Theo has the same agent. Okay. And I went to Kyle and I was like, we're having a hard time finding this Junebug kid. Do you have anybody? And he's like, well, let me check with my client. And let me check with my coworkers. And he came back and he had his picture. And he was like, she walked in and said, you know, this is your Junebug. And I said, well, send him over for an audition. And when he walked in, the first thing I thought, I was like, God damn. You know, because I saw other kids, and kids are in Hollywood. Once they get money, there was one little kid that was such a great actor, but he looked rich. And he know who I'm talking about. I'm not going to say his name. But he had the attitude. He's a little too. He was the type of kid I probably would have smashed upside the head with a hammer, too. But he looked rich to me. Like, he came in, he had cologne on, he was poloed down, he was fucking, his eyebrows looked like they were orange. I know this kid get fucking $500 facial.
And I was said, like, hold on. You can't just gloss over that. You said he looked like the type of kid I was smacking the head with a hammer.
I didn't even hear that.
You're not supposed to smack any kids in the head with a fucking hammer.
Well, let me say this, a rubber hammer, not a real hammer.
Yeah.
I don't want to harm anybody. But this kid just looked rich to me. And this kid came in before Junebug came in, before Theodore came in. And that's when I went to my age. I said, all these kids fucking look like they're rich. What the fuck is wrong with these kids? You don't come to a middle-class show with a fucking polo shirt on looking like you fucking rich with motherfucking cologne that I recognize that I know costs money. Your fucking teeth look like they had been done on a fucking 12-year-old. So when I went to college,
so mad about his wealth, his self-care.
But you know, me and Jordan wanted to look real. You don't take a kid. You ever seen a show where you take a kid and you're like, they don't belong there?
Yeah.
It's like almost saying that you playing these roles and these folks supposed to be poor and shit and they got perfect teeth. Well, you shouldn't have cast them, or you should have fucked their teeth up or something. So he comes in and I was like, oh my God. I see he looked like my June bug. So when he walked in, I was like, please let this nigga be in the act. Because I didn't Google anybody. I didn't look at your resume. I just want to take you for natural who you was. So I was like, please let him be able to act. Just let him be able to act, Lord. Please, please. And he walked in and I said, you look like my real Junebug. And I, you know, I was reading with the person. That's when he's saying about you don't always get a chance to read with the star. So I was sitting there reading with everybody.
You needed to practice.
I did practice. He walked out and I said, that's my fucking Junebug. And it's like, no. I said, that's my, then they still had the rich looking kid on the floor next to him. I said, what the fuck are we going to do with this kid? And then at that time, I think that was the second audition twice before we went over to Fox Lot. Because we had to bring you back for Debbie Allen. So yep. I'm telling Debbie Allen, this is the fucking Junebug. This is the Junebug. And it was like, well, this one here got advertised. I said, I don't give a fuck what he got. He looked like he rich. And so I just knew from that, I just knew when he walked in, that was my Junebug. What I didn't know is Vince Swan was Brandon because I hated him.
Well, I wanted to ask because you made, like, you know, Junebug and Junebug are very similar. All the kids are exactly the same, you know. So Brandon, to prepare for the role of Nikea, like, did you stop reading? Did you just start wandering through? Like, what did you do to really get inside the mind of
Xbox all day?
To get inside the mind of Nikea to play him, what was your method?
Yeah, I stopped reading. I played a lot of video games.
Ask a lot of dumb questions.
Yeah, a lot of dumb questions. Staring at the ceiling. honestly, like, what's funny is that was me at like 16. Like, I wasn't the brightest kid at 16. And the type of love that that Brandon has for Miss Pat, that's me and my mother's relationship. So it was really easy to kind of tap into that role, like, get your dumb ass off me, but I still love you type of role. So like it was fun to play because it was like reliving my childhood.
Yeah, Miss Pat has said before that when she goes, Nikea will be the only one of her kids on the cast going, no, mama.
And when he auditioned, I was like, and he left, I was like, I don't like him. And they was like, why? I said, he act like my son for real. And Joy was like, bitch, this is TV. Yeah, just like the real Nikea. And I think, how many times did you audition, Vince?
I did a regular audition that I did audition with you. I think I went straight to the director session because I did one with you and Debbie, and then I did the
So Debbie was there, and then when he walked out, Debbie said, there's your Brandon right there. And I was like, you think so? He kind of stupid. And then Joy was like, ain't your son stupid? Because the reality was, I've never acted before, so I didn't really know how to disconnect the real kids from the TV kids. These motherfuckers showing up reminding me of the real people in my life.
Yeah.
And I was like, he's stupid just like, and then Debbie was like, that's him. He's nice looking. He this, he that. Because, you know, I think we kind of had somebody else in mind, but we wasn't for sure. And then he popped up and then Debbie was like, that's your fucking Junebug right there.
Brandon.
Nakia,
yeah.
That's your Nakia.
Yeah, Vince is very handsome. He doesn't look like you without a wig. So that was a mental block for me.
Yo.
You think I'm just going to let you throw these shots at me white night?
It's called payback.
It's called payback.
No, you did it. You did a great job. Like, so what's your background in acting? Like, how long have you been doing? What else have you been in?
I started acting at 8. I got in it late. So I started acting at 17 because I was playing sports before then. I was destined to go to the NBA, but then, you know, I ain't tall. So once my height stopped, I stopped. So I started acting at 17 and I went to North Carolina A&T for theater. And then I got into this program, the same program Chadwick Boseman got into, the British American Drama Academy at Oxford University. And then after that, when I was there, I was doing a lot of like jokes and stuff. And they told me that I should try to do like Second City and stand up and stuff. So when I came back to the States, I left school because everything I kind of pretty much learned over there, I was like, when I came back to, I think I went to UNC Charlotte at the time, they were teaching me everything that I had already learned overseas. So I was like, I'm just going to go and try to figure it out. Because I had two other brothers that needed to go to school. And I didn't want my parents wasting money on me, you know, going to school and then probably working at Cheesecake Factory graduating. I didn't want that to happen. So I was like, let me try to figure this out. So I did stand up for about a year and a half. And then I just started doing videos online. And long story short, some of my videos online got into the hands of people at BET, and that's kind of how I got into the door of acting and stuff. So I've just been kind of like betting on myself and creating and, you know, coming up with, you know, videos and stuff and sending it to people, just betting on myself. And I gave myself 2 years. I said, for 2 years, if I don't make it, then I'm going to go back to school. And that's when BET called. Like, I was on my way to go to Howard. And then BET called and they said they wanted to do a show with me and stuff. And then I was like, all right, well, I guess I'll just keep doing this.
Have you seen his stand up, Miss Pat?
No.
Okay.
You don't.
Don't let her see it. Don't.
You don't.
There's like 5 stand ups I've ever heard her, like, it's really funny. Yeah.
Did you see his stand up?
I haven't seen it, no.
No one's seen my stand up.
So like
you have clips on YouTube, we can go look.
Nah, I gotta go on the boat and find them, man. I did stand up like years ago. I did it for like a year. I started at 18, I stopped at 19. I was like,
I'm telling you now, Vince, them crack babies gonna want to see it. So you better lock it up if you don't want nobody to see it. They will find that shit.
So you were doing like YouTube videos, like kind of viral video type stuff, and that's how you got found by VT.
That's what's crazy. None of my videos ever went viral. It was my production value that really caught the eyes of like Stephen Hill and Robbie Reed, and just like my concepts. Like my concepts were so high end. That's what caught the attention. My videos never went viral. I've never had a viral video. So like the simple fact that I'm even here, I'm like, oh, okay, this is by the grace of God, because none of my videos viral at all.
So the only acting training you had was when you was overseas?
Yeah, overseas. And then I just finished a program called Identity School of Acting. That's John Boyega. It's another British acting school. John Boyega's agent started it. And a lot of people from Black Panther went to that school. The guy from Snowfall, Desmond Idris, goes to that school too. So I just finished that program last year. So it was BADA, IDSA, and yeah, just life experience.
Let me ask y'all something. Did y'all ever walk away and feel like you had the role? Because it's hard auditioning. Like, before we put this show on, before we even got to the point of auditioning, they wanted me to audition a lot. I never got a role. But they wanted me to just get into, you know, the rhythm of putting myself on self-tape, which I think is the dumbest shit in the world. It was really hard for me because I'm not an actor. And we tried many times. We probably had 300 takes of the same. But it was more, they knew I wasn't going to get the role, but they just wanted me to have the experience of self-taping, which I was like, this is dumb as fuck. I don't know if I'm doing good or bad, because nobody's here. Dion can't act. The other motherfucker holding the camera was Garyana cussing me out all the time. So we didn't know what the fuck we were doing.
Miss Pat was just fucking reading. That's all she was doing. I'm like, you're not acting at all.
No feeling, no nothing.
I was like, you got to be the character. You just Miss Pat reading as the character.
Well, see, I didn't know that. I always thought acting was fake. I thought to be
it an actor, is,
but I thought to be an actor, you had to be a big ass light. That's the only way you're gonna pull that kind of bullshit off. Because, you know, liars can pull off. Because liars are actors. Oh, I'm an interior designer, and I'm here, and you take a bitch money. You're so, you know, I never really thought, like, you know, I never had respect for actors. I was like, oh, anybody can do that bullshit. They really want to tell a good lie. Then when I get this show and, like, to get connected to you guys and, like, the feelings and, you know, the emotions, like that finale we did, I was like, this shit kind of hurt. I kind of feel this shit. I do want to slap Junebug in the mouth for being so motherfucking smart ass. And Brendan really is stupid. And I started really feeling like, oh, this is my fucking family. But I didn't know all of that was involved with actors. I thought you just get up there with a self-tape, put a camera in your face, and die. They ain't going to pick me. And I didn't give a fuck. So,
well, that's y'all a good attitude to have for going to auditions.
I never did a live audition like you guys did. I never did.
She never acted. That's what she's telling you. She never, even in her self-tape, she wasn't acting. It wasn't until she got on the set with you guys and started working with you guys that she actually understood the concept of what acting really was.
Yeah.
But I told you on set though, Miss Pat, like acting honestly is just honest. It's just tapping in honestly, because you, every line that you have said in the show, you said it honestly. Like half the time when you say shit, I'm like, damn, she really mad. Like, because like you say it honestly. Like, and that's the thing. Like most people, like a lot of times, like you can get caught up being in acting school too. You can get caught up in trying to evoke an emotion and it comes across fake, because it's like, as long as it comes across believable and honest, you're going to convince everybody. And anytime when you have done your line, even in your dramatic roles and serious roles in the show, it comes across honest and it's believable. So like a lot of acting is just being honest. It's just tapping into that, because when you're dealing with like contracts and shit going wrong on set and stuff, you ain't trying to think about how you feel in the scene. But like,
uh-oh. He froze again.
Hold on, you got to back up. You froze. Damn, he look cross eyed, don't he?
Let's take a break while we get Vince back.
So we're back from the break, and we're picking up with Vince. Juma, did you ever leave the audition feeling like you had the job? Well, Theodore, I'm going to forever call you fucking Junebug.
Not really. Only because I've gone into auditions and they just gone really great, and you leave and the rest of your day is awesome and you still don't get the job. And there's been times where I feel like I just didn't perform the best at all, and I still get that call back, or, you know, you really don't know what to expect. But like when you said, you know, really just going in and not saying not caring, but it's either, you know, if they like me, they like me. If they don't, they don't. I'm moving on. Once you really tap into that, it don't matter. But I really agree with you on the self-tapes. Because, you know, with this COVID, that's all we've been doing is self-tape auditions. And honestly, I can't wait to go back in person. Because when you're in person, you have to, you know, this is it. You know, you got your one shot, you perform or you don't.
Yeah, that was the first time that Miss Pat and I ever had like a real conversation when she brought up the idea of the podcast. I helped her do a self-tape back in late 2018. And so I was real nervous about the show. but that was one thing that you see through the episode. Like, she really grows as an actress. You know,
oh, yeah.
Like when you over the like talk about Miss Pat's acting over the course of like the series, because I think as a viewer you could kind of see she grew, but as an actor, did you feel that too?
I think Miss Pat didn't know she was an actor from the jump. It just honestly needed to come out, and I feel like it really did. It took, you know, all of us, you know, JB, Tammy, Brianna, Vince, me, Jordan. It just, you know, took up being around all of us to kind of bring that out. Because at the end of the day, acting is, you know, what we're doing right now is acting. We have a regular conversation, and somebody could put this on the TV show and boom, we're all actors. But Miss Pat, like Vince was saying, that genuine delivery is, you know, all it is, you know, simple saying, hey, how you doing? and not, hey, how you doing? Like, you're not coming up to somebody and doing that at 9 a.m. That's dead.
But when you're acting, do you have to exaggerate a little bit? Like if in radio, for instance, if I were talking like my normal voice, this is kind of how I normally talk. But like when you're doing a podcast, you have to kind of have, you know, a radio, you have to have a little more energy, a little more added to it. Like, what's the difference between, you know, Theo in real life and Theo the actor if you were doing the same scene?
Theo in real life and Theo the actor, I wouldn't say there's much difference. I'd say my intentions, maybe my looks, my facial expressions will be different. I wouldn't say there's much difference because I'm never trying to act. You know, it's words on a page, and what does my character want? What's keeping me from getting it? And that's, you know, that's what.
Ever feel like I've read stuff and I was like, this ain't for me. You know, I can't get into this.
Oh yeah. All the time. And it really is up to you. Like, if you want to take that venture and try to tap into that character, yeah, you know. But there'll be times where, you know, I get breakdowns and it is say like a, you know, jock, or it say something like, you know, popular kid or arrogant, and it's like, it's not really me, but you know, I'm a do it for the sake of audition. You know, I'm not walking around conceited and all that stuff. And when you see them type of lines, it is a little bit of like, but you know, it's a part of acting if you want to go down that road. I know when stuff is for me, you know, I know when I could, you know, finagle certain stuff. So
thank y'all so much for tuning in to another episode of The Pat Down. Make sure you check out my website at MissPatComedy.com for all of my social media, my tour dates, my book. Make sure you spread the word about my podcast. Please rate and review. Please rate and review and share. Thank y'all so much, y'all. I've been Miss Pat.